Hello and welcome to The Swiss Connection. I'm Susan Masika. What do restaurants and raves have in common? In this program, we hear from a Brit living in French-speaking Switzerland, where he's been immersed in food as well as fiction.
A neighbour upstairs called the police because he had smoke coming through his toilet.
All will be revealed. Richard Williams, who grew up on a farm in Wales, recently published his first novel. Mostyn Thomas and the Big Rave is a darkly entertaining tale of farmers, ravers, and debt collectors set in Wales in the early 1990s. Swiss Info's Thomas Stevens chatted with Williams about his first novel, Life as an Expat, spotting gaps in the Swiss market, and the challenges of setting up a chain of restaurants in Switzerland.
Now, you've just written and published your first book, Mostyn Thomas and the Big Rave. That's Big Rave, not Big Grave.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, without giving anything away, what's it about?
The book is about a farmer called Mostyn Thomas, who's basically based on a typical farmer back in West Wales at the time, the early 1990s. Mostyn is in a really tough place, and he meets a DJ called Jethro, who's also in a very tough place, a 19-year-old boy. And they're both at their wit's end, really, and they decide to hatch a plan to hold a rave on Mostyn's farm to raise some money to pay off his debts.
Because you obviously know a lot about that. You grew up on a farm?
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy farm. My dad's a dairy farmer, beef as well. My dad's got three sisters all married to farmers. My mum's got one brother married to a farmer. So I'm a real, from farming stock, I was probably the black sheep who left. But so I thought maybe it would be some contribution back to Pembrokeshire to write something, and a nice story about the time, which hasn't really been documented too much. Well, the whole book, I suppose, is about the farming community and how it was impacted by mad cow disease, BSE, also the impact of milk quotas, joining the European Union. The rural community sort of really started to decline. Congregations and chapels and churches declined as well. So there's this real negative time in the countryside. However, at the same time, rave culture came. Rave culture started in London in 88 and then trickled its way down to Pembrokeshire by around 1990-1991. And then, you know, from the summer of 91 until around 94, basically the whole youth community of Pembrokeshire came together from all corners. It had never been seen before, really. For about 3 years, there was this fantastic community of young people enjoying each other's company. It was very egalitarian, and you'd have people from all walks of life mixing with each other. And it sort of maintained and brought back a real spirit to country life. So I thought I'd write about that quite interesting time.
I mean, no spoilers, but it's about farming. It involves rave culture, drugs, surfing. I'm guessing it's slightly semi-biographical, autobiographical?
No, not really. I've tried it not to be. It's definitely about the events around which I grew up in. A lot of the characters are kind of hybrids of people I know, for example, you know, sort of best of characters. Like Mostyn, the main character, he's probably a compilation of about four or five different farmers I know, including my dad, including some of my uncles, neighbours. Their sort of quirky mannerisms, their funny sayings. So I've tried to create these like super characters who are based on several people. So yeah, the whole adventure is about getting to the rave. But the whole storyline for me, what I really wanted to convey was that how peripheral characters in a community are generally the ones that kind of work to hold it together. These are often the valuable and overlooked people in a community.
Well, let's jump back a bit to when you arrived in Switzerland back in 2004.
Yeah.
What were your first impressions? As you say, you're from a Welsh farm, but you've travelled around the world a lot. So it wasn't as if it was a sort of Crocodile Dundee situation.
No.
What were your first impressions? Was there any culture shock? Or
No, obviously the language was a barrier. At the start, I didn't speak much French when I arrived.
And you do now?
I do now, yeah. Not too bad. Physically, I love the country. I think it's one of the most beautiful countries in the world. I think it's just fantastic. I love the outdoors. I love cycling. I love snowboarding. It's just great. And the opportunities you can have as well, it's great. Culturally, it was different. Obviously, growing up in a farming community, I'm a real community person. I like community. I think the fact that I didn't speak French, I think it's even now today, I haven't really integrated into the local community. I think my community is my work, my job, my staff, my rest, you know, the restaurants, I think, and that's great. But I think...
Do you need French for your daily life?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. You don't need to speak perfectly, but... you need to have a certain level, with you're speaking to the butcher, the baker, these guys, none of these guys speak English. So, yeah, if you want to keep your standards and speak with clients in the restaurant, you need to have a good base level of French.
Switzerland has been sliding down. You get these annual expat surveys, and Switzerland's been slowly sliding down them. It obviously depends on the criteria, but most expats, they say, yeah, it's peaceful, safe, beautiful. But when it comes to ease of settling in, making friends, that's where Switzerland suffers. Can you see that? Do you agree? Has that been your experience?
Yeah, I'd say so. But then, how do you define a Swiss person today? that's the big question for me. Most Swiss people now are sort of second generation. The people we work with, they're all Swiss passports, but their parents are Italians, Spanish, British. And I think this whole thing about the Swiss are not accessible. I think maybe if you go out into the countryside and the rural communities, and it's quite similar elsewhere. But I'd say that is the one thing which I have struggled with a bit. But I think Switzerland is changing very, very quickly. And I think it's one of the most inclusive, tolerant, I think... it's safe, and even the young people. There's no violence. You go out on a Saturday night. I go out in Lausanne quite a lot. It kind of works. It's a real experiment of different cultures, different people coming together, young people, and there's never any trouble. And I think it's a great thing. I think the future generations are quite multicultural and tolerant. I think that's a positive thing.
Do you have any advice for new arrivals? I mean, apart from going to your restaurants and bars.
I think a lot of people come, they go to Geneva, and they don't see they go and ski on the weekend. Go and visit the country, really get your feet onto the ground, get your toes in the earth, go up to the Jura Mountains, go down the Valais. You know, just really appreciate what you have around you in terms of physical beauty. Just get out and meet people. Yeah, it's quite straightforward. I think it's quite, apart from the language, I think everything's pretty, in terms of, for Westerners particularly, it's everything works. You know, the trains work, they're on time, it's remarkable. You know, there shouldn't be any... shouldn't be too much complaining if you come here as an expat. Probably your own fault if you've got any problems, because it couldn't be a more easier country to live in, really.
So your restaurants?
Yeah. My wife and I, we founded Holy Cow back in 2009. We started in Lausanne. We opened up two in Lausanne, two in Geneva, and one in Zurich. And then we sold Holy Cow in 2014. We took a bit of time off, and then we opened up Blackbird Coffee and Breakfast Club in Lausanne, which is... we roast coffee, we do pancakes, breakfast burritos, more of a...
I've been there a couple of times. Okay. I didn't know that was you. And
okay.
That was great.
Okay. Yeah. And then we opened up the Blackbird Downtown Diner, which is in the Flon of Lausanne, and now we have a gastropub in Roll.
Okay, well, let's start with the Holy Cow. Why burger? I must admit, okay, my personal observations, I've been moaning ever since I got here that it's very difficult to find a good burger in Switzerland. Mm. I don't know what it is. Very hard. There's no excuse. There's good meat.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they seem to put either covered in coleslaw or Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just going to the wrong places. You obviously did your market research and said that there's...
Well, same as you. I said the same as you about 10 years ago. After school, I lived in Australia for 4 years in Sydney, and I was just there just surfing, and I was just bumming around. We were getting a job working in restaurants for 4 years in Sydney, and I picked up a lot of... I didn't realise at the time I'd picked up a lot of culinary skills, I suppose. You know, I'm not a qualified chef, but... at the time, in the mid-90s, it was quite an interesting time. You had this thing called modern Australian cuisine, which is quite world famous at the time. It was a lot of Mediterranean flavours fused with Asian flavours. You had the war in former Yugoslavia, a lot of refugees coming over, setting up businesses there. So this real coming together of very good cuisines, very focused on good ingredients. And when I went back to uni then in England, met my wife Jess, we ended up going to study and then back to the Global Fund. So we'd been in Geneva for 3 years, and we'd realised after 3 years, well, particularly for me, obviously being a farmer's son, the world of bureaucracy and administrative work wasn't really in my long-term goals. And I just realised that, you know, I could see, looking around Geneva, I think there's just no decent takeaway food here. You've got McDonald's, you've got pizzerias, you've got high-end restaurants, but there's a huge grey area in the middle where you're just sort of restaurant-quality takeaway food at good value prices. So we thought about a few options. We thought about a fish and chip shop in Geneva. We thought about a few other things, but then we thought, well, burgers, you know, everyone loves a burger. Easy to make, low, you know, the minced meat will last for a few days, and very little waste compared to fish. So we did a bit of research. The main research was where to open. We looked around Geneva, and then we thought it was a little bit fragmented. So we went to look in Lausanne. I'd never been to Lausanne. I thought, this is perfect. It's a very condensed city, very young, quite alternative, kind of open to new ideas. So we opened up a small 8-seat takeaway. We both quit our jobs. My wife was working at MSF at the time, Médecins Sans Frontières. We both took the plunge and quit our jobs and opened up an 8-seat takeaway in Lausanne. And it took about the first 3 months were a disaster. The first day we opened, the police closed us down within an hour because our ventilation wasn't working properly, because our neighbour upstairs had called the police because he had smoke coming through his toilet. So we pretty much burst into tears on the first day, and what have we done? But then this is in February 2009, obviously, and I think Ski Week was the week after we opened, and there was nobody in the city. But then spring came, February, March, and April, May, then things started to pick up a lot, and then by sort of October, November, but the sort of cult following people were coming from all over, and by the end of the year, we had a queue out the door. Yeah, we were doing 500 burgers a day in this small little takeaway within a year.
Setting up a business in one's own country must be challenging enough, let alone in another country. Okay, your wife is Swiss. But how easy was it setting it up? The paperwork?
Well, that's all my wife says. She's great at that. She took control of all that. And without her, I could never have done it. I think there's a lot of hoops to jump through. But I think I'm pretty sure that opening a business in Switzerland and running a business in Switzerland is far easier than it is in the European Union. Because obviously the European Union is sort of bound by Brussels, and every year they all the suits get together and develop policy and guidelines and standards, and which is great generally. You know, the European Union has brought in some fantastic standards for things like water cleanliness of the oceans. These kind of things are fantastic. But in the food business, I think it's a kind of a more common sense approach in Switzerland. We opened 3 franchises in France with Holy Cow. And, you know, the regulations there were very, very strict. You know, you had to have, like, pre-cooling fridges to put food in the fridge. So you put food into one fridge and leave it there until it was at temperature, put it into another fridge. Whereas in Switzerland, it's more kind of, they're still very strict with standards of hygiene, but it's more pragmatic and more, like, you know, more common sense. Like, you can just tell when you're in Europe that there's just lists of things, boxes to tick, and the sort of health and safety gone mad, as we say in the UK. But I don't think it's gone mad in Switzerland yet. I think it's quite pragmatic. Still very high standards, very strict, but it's not too over the top.
So you're possibly looking to expand further? I mean, there's room in Bern. There isn't one in Bern yet.
Well, you can find me a location for cheap rent, but... to be honest, no, I don't think so. I think our experience after Holy Cow, we travelled a lot with the kid. We have 2 kids now, so... We don't really want to move again. We want to keep the family settled. I think we had our fun with Holy Cow in terms of expanding and growth, and we had the franchises. Now it's more settled, and it gives us time as well on the side. Like, for example, to write a book on, you know, I could never have done that while having Holy Cow.
As you say, you've recently opened and you're running the Blackbird House Gastropub in Roll. Now, for our listeners who might not know what a gastropub is, what briefly is a gastropub?
Ooh, no, that's a big question.
It's not really a Swiss concept, is it?
That's a big question. Well, a gastropub, for Francophones, they expect it to be a pub with, like, gastronomic food, like Michelin-starred food. I think we've had a few complaints. But a gastropub, traditionally in the UK, is just a posh pub. A pub with higher quality food, fresh ingredients and craft beer and, you know, nice decor. Contemporary style. So,
and was this another gap in the market that you spotted? Because there are plenty of English and Irish pubs in Swiss cities.
Yeah, but definitely a gap in the market. I think so. Yeah. Well, I think obviously craft beer, the explosion of craft beer. I think Switzerland has the highest proportion of craft beer brewers in the world. Yeah, there's some ridiculous, like, 1,200 microbreweries in Switzerland registered. And the Swiss like good quality. The Swiss like quality, and they're prepared to pay for quality. I think the days of pubs just selling commercial lager and there's always still a market for that, but I think the Swiss don't like drinking volumes like they do in the UK or other Anglo-Saxon countries. They enjoy flavour, and so I think craft beer is good because they can enjoy 2 or 3 beers. They're quite strong. Go out and have good food, fresh food. We, you know, we have burgers, we have curries, we have burritos, we have all sorts of things. But it's all fresh, and I think that's what they like.
You order at the bar?
No, it's table service.
Oh, it's table service. Yeah. I was going to say, because some of the pubs I've been in Switzerland, it's like in Britain, you just go up and order at the bar.
Yeah.
And some of the Swiss don't always get this concept. They go and sit down at the table, wait for someone to come.
Yeah.
But they get, your concept is actually more Swiss.
Yeah, well, I think in, all our Holy Cow is obviously all at the bar, but all Blackbirds are table service.
And again, the customers there, that's their mixture of expats, Swiss.
Yeah, absolutely. In Roll, I'd say it's a real split. At the moment, it's a real family restaurant. I'd say it's more focused on families. We, for example, Mondays and Tuesday nights, kids under 12 eat for free between, you know, 6 and 7. So this kind of thing, which you get that in the UK, you don't really get that in Switzerland. People really like that, appreciate it. So, but it's been open just 12 months now, so it'll probably take another year to really establish itself.
You probably don't consider yourself an expat anymore. I mean, I don't. We've been here roughly the same time, and we're roughly the same age. You're settled here, and you think you can see your...
Definitely, yeah. I think I'm settled here for sure. Obviously, I've still got very close links to my home in Wales, and I go home regularly. Yeah, but what does expat mean? I don't know. It's kind of like a state of mind, isn't it? Expat. I'm not sure. Am I an immigrant? It's an expat. It's
you're Swiss now?
No, not yet. We've got the forms for the... quite a big pile. Right. I'm not very good at filling forms in. So I keep looking at them, but I keep sort of turning away and saying, maybe next week. Am I an expat? I think most of my people I hang out with, most of my community are Swiss, so that probably qualifies me a bit more to being more on the Swiss expat side than being a transient expat who's just sort of passing through. But I don't try and think about these things too much. I often struggle with things like identity and nationality of my kids, this kind of stuff. And I've always thought that it's important for my kids to know they're Welsh. But at the end of the day, nationalism has turned out to be quite a toxic thing, really. And it doesn't really do much for me anymore. I think, but anyway, that's another story.
That was Thomas Stevens speaking to Richard Williams, whose debut novel, Mostyn Thomas and the Big Rave, has just been published. Visit us at swissinfo.ch for more stories about Swiss-based authors and entrepreneurs who were born abroad. You'll find them in our in-depth section called Making Switzerland Home. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Danny Wheeler. Signing off for all of us here, I'm Susan Masika.